Welcome back to another episode of The Radio Psychs, your premier podcast for insights into everything mental health. I'm Dr. Aaron Haddock.
And I'm Dr. Rhonda Yu. We're psychologists who care about people and bringing science to practice.
And we're so glad to have you join us.
Please note that the information shared in this episode is solely intended for informational and entertainment purposes only and is not a substitute for professional medical or mental health advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Today's topic is empathy and your mental health, part two.
Welcome back to another episode about empathy and your mental health.
Rhonda, I thought you scrapped the empathy GPS idea and threw out your prototype.
Wait, did you fish it out of the garbage and turn it back on?
No. So it wasn't you that brought it back in here?
No.
I came back to provide you with emotional guidance.
I'm scared.
Just smile. It wants us to be happy.
Come on already. No time to waste. Let's get this episode started.
Okay, let's get started. Today, we're continuing our exploration into the intricate world of empathy and mental health. In our previous episode, we discussed the impact of empathy on our well-being. Today, we're moving forward to examine the ways we can cultivate empathy.
That's right. But before we dive into how we cultivate empathy, let's go back to where we last left off and talk a bit more about the type of empathy we want to cultivate.
Sounds good. In the second part of our last episode, we talked about the self-oriented perspective-taking type of empathy, the one that calls for a person to step into the shoes of another person, and how it's been linked to some negative effects.
Yeah, taking on the emotional weight of someone else's experience might not only impact our ability to help, but could also increase our risk of experiencing distressing emotions.
What's the alternative?
Well, there's also the other-oriented perspective-taking type of empathy. This type of empathy involves imagining another person's perspective, reading their emotions, and understanding them more broadly, without internalizing their emotions and sharing the same emotional experience. Another term for this other-oriented response is compassion. What do you think, Aaron? Is there only one right type of empathy?
No, it's not that simple. In certain situations, taking a self-oriented perspective may be best, but in others, taking an other-oriented perspective may be best.
Okay. In what situations do you think it might be more appropriate to take a self-oriented perspective, dive deep into our emotional reservoirs, and share in the experience of another human being?
Well, I think there are situations where a personal, emotional connection is really important. For instance, consoling a close friend who's going through a heartbreak or celebrating a joyous moment with a loved one. In these scenarios, sharing the emotional experience on a more personal level can strengthen the bond and offer genuine support.
I agree with that. There's an authenticity in sharing emotional burdens, especially with those close to us.
Now, what about the other type of empathy? When do you think it might be more appropriate to take an other-oriented perspective, where it's more of a cognitive process focused on comprehensive understanding?
I think this type tends to shine in professional settings, diverse environments, and situations that demand a comprehensive understanding. Think workplace collaborations, cross-cultural interactions, or when encountering perspectives vastly different from our own. It's about fostering a broader understanding without necessarily sharing the same emotional intensity.
I see it. It seems that the choice between self-oriented and other-oriented perspective-taking depends on the nature of the relationship and the context. In close relationships, weaving self-oriented empathy into the fabric of connection is important, but in diverse or professional settings, emphasizing other-oriented perspective-taking may be more appropriate.
Now, let's move on to how we can cultivate empathy.
Good call. Now, to cultivate empathy, we first need to believe in our capacity to grow in empathy.
Absolutely. There's research to support this, including some interesting work out of Stanford University.
In one study, researchers found that this belief that we can grow in empathy doesn't make much of a difference when empathy is easy, like when we're with people who look and think like us. But when faced with differences, whether in appearance, thoughts, or behaviors, the belief that empathy can be developed leads to more empathetic actions.
Now, let's say we believe we can grow in empathy. What are practices we can adopt to cultivate it?
We mentioned this in the last episode, but I think it's worth mentioning again. When we engage in empathetic acts, our brains release oxytocin, what's sometimes called the love hormone. In certain situations, engaging in behaviors like making eye contact and using culturally appropriate, soft physical touch helps us to leverage the neurological effects of oxytocin and promote empathetic acts.
That's a great reminder. Another big one is to pay attention to other people and expose yourself to differences. Do what you can, whether it's consuming diverse media or even directly taking part in another person's culture, to get a better understanding of the contextual factors that shape another human being's perspective. This can help minimize our biases and help us to gain a deeper level of understanding of why another person may think or feel a certain way.
When you say diverse media, what exactly are you referring to?
Oh, a wide range of content, actually, which can come from books, movies, TV shows, and other forms of media that represent a variety of perspectives, cultures, and experiences.
Oh, okay. So doing things like reading books written by authors from different backgrounds, watching films with characters from various cultures or documentaries, or engaging with content that explores diverse themes and experiences?
Exactly. I think it's worth noting, too, that a big piece of this is just being open to learning about other people's experiences and seeing that they're valid. So avoid assumptions and be curious. Ask questions and get to know people.
Something else we can do to cultivate empathy is engage in the practice of identifying things we have in common with other people, rather than focusing on how we're different. When we focus on shared similarities, whether in beliefs, values, or experiences, it can enhance our sense of social connection and trigger pro-social behaviors.
Aaron, before we wrap this up, I think we should touch on one more point: the importance of understanding where we struggle to exhibit empathy. We all have areas where it's challenging to do empathy.
That's so true. The recommendation here would be to take notice of where those challenging areas are, where you struggle to connect with others, and continue to try and relate to their experiences. This doesn't necessarily mean you'll agree with their view of the world, but you may develop a better understanding of why they see it the way they do.
And that's a wrap for us today.
We appreciate you joining us on our continued expedition into the world of empathy. Until next time, keep those minds inquisitive and your empathy levels up.
That's right. Take care and be well, everybody.
Take care and be well.
Yes. Take care and be well.